I'd like to open the sermonette today by turning back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to head back there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the second book of Timothy, is a letter from Paul to Timothy, and it has all sorts of advice and guidance. And to me, it almost feels like you are overhearing a conversation around a campfire as Paul is going from topic to topic, trying to share insight with Timothy in a loving way. And in the verses leading up to chapter 3, Paul's telling Timothy to flee youthful lust, to avoid silly arguments and disputes, to be patient and kind and have humility. And it's in this context that we get to chapter 3 and starting in verse 1 where I want to start today. It's a bit of a departure from what Paul was saying leading up to this point. And instead of the circumstances that Paul wants Timothy to develop, he kind of takes a different approach here and instead is now giving him the counter perspective of attributes and qualities that he wants Timothy to avoid. So let's pick up the thought here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, again starting in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." We understand that this points to a time in the future where Satan's rule over mankind will come to an end in the most dramatic way as humanity takes its final stand against God here. And it's right up before Jesus Christ returns. And it's a dark time. And part of what makes it perilous is, in large part, how people are treating one another. Verse 2. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Verse 3. "Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, brutal, despisers of good." Verse 4. More traits here. Finally, verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Well, one word in here that caught my eye when I was reading down through this list is in verse 3, and it's the word brutal. Brutal. In the New King James, it's fierce. In the New Living Version, it's cruel. The Message Bible translation has this kind of unique and fun translation. I'll read it out here. And again, this is the Message Bible. It says, "A dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical." But in most translations, it's simply rendered brutal. But there is actually just a small problem here in this verse, in that this word brutal is only used here in the New Testament. It's the only place in the whole Bible where that word is used. And when you come across a word that only has a single usage or a very limited usage, then translators have some decisions that they have to make. They have to decide how to take a word or a meaning and convert it from one language to another. And sometimes that word or that phrase isn't simple, but rather it conveys something that is vivid or culturally significant in one language that doesn't have the equivalent in the language they're translating to. An old English word that kind of works the same way is the word gentleman. Gentleman. Olivia sometimes talks to her cat. She says, "Oh, look, here's my little gentleman." But that word, it's a loaded word for us in our language. It means a man. It means a polite man, a noble man, most oftenly. But it carries baggage from a time when it was used to describe someone that had honor, you know, someone that was filled with self-restraint, someone that had some sort of social standing within the community. And if you were to translate that word gentleman from English into another language, that would be difficult. You would kind of need a whole sentence to describe what that word means. You might say something like, "A man who behaves with honor, with courtesy and self-control according to the cultural norms of that day." But that's a whole sentence for just one word. So translators, they can't go do that. They can't switch out one word for whole sentences. Our Bible would be massive. So the translators, they face this problem in the Bible with words that are equally or more complex, where you can't switch out just one word with an equivalent English word. And as a result, you often have to settle for an imperfect word or something that kind of gets you close, but isn't quite the same thing. Another great example of this is in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to turn back there. This is in the famous model prayer section. And this is one of my favorite examples. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. And these are memory verses. It says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Well, verse 11 for me always stood out as being kind of awkward here. Give us this day our daily bread. That seems kind of duplicitous to me, especially an example where Jesus Christ is really trying to streamline it down to just the most simplistic building blocks of a prayer. Day and daily, both used in the same account, same sentence. And the word translated daily here, it's used here and in Luke's account, and that's it. Like, literally, that's it. There's no other usages of that word in any Greek literature. So now, you can appreciate the difficulties translators have to pick apart that word, to hold it up, to try to dissect it the best they can, and in this case, try to communicate the meaning of what Jesus was trying to convey. So that takes us back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. And our word brutal or fierce. In Greek, there's two parts of it. The second part means tame, gentle, civilized, domesticated. And the first part means not. So it's not those things. And it was originally used to describe wild animals that have not been domesticated or animals that could not be domesticated or people that were acting beneath civilized humanity. So when I read this verse and I come across the word brutal, the image that comes into my mind is some big, angry dude who's buff, he's probably on steroids, and he's just like punching things, and he's angry all the time, and he's out of control. To me, that's brutal. But when people read this verse back in the day when it was written, this word meant something slightly different. To them, it didn't really mean violent. That's in that word, but that's not really the main part of it. For them, it's a complex word that meant something more of like a person that has cast off restraints that make civilized human life possible. In other Greek literature, it's used for barbaric tribes or cruel tyrants or uncontrolled passions and wild beasts. Essentially, it's the exact opposite of what an ideal Greek life would be. An ideal Greek self would be someone with self-control, with civilization, gentleness, ordered society. So that word was loaded in their context to mean something totally different. It's about as far as you can get to the other extreme as someone that is a gentleman or a lady. That's all fine and good, and I know everyone found that very interesting. But what does that have to do with us today? Well, for me, when I read over this verse and verses like it, I can kind of shake my head at those crazy people at the end times. I can say, well, I would never be brutal. I don't really have a brutal bone in my body. So therefore, I can kind of skip over this. Doesn't really apply to me. But the picture that it should paint is more nuanced than that. It's a contrast between someone that is utilizing God's Holy Spirit to produce gentleness, self-control, kindness, versus someone where the works of the flesh have taken control and produce untamed behavior, harshness, and the inability to govern their own behaviors and their own passions. And in that area, I probably still have a little bit of work left to go. Paul is illustrating a scene here where people are no longer governable, no longer gentle, no longer civilized in their spirit because they have pushed aside God's way of life. And it's a great reminder for us today in why we follow God's way of life. The fruit of the Spirit isn't just nice to have, happy-go-lucky attributes. They are a requirement as we change our character to be more in line with what God desires. And when people push away God's way of life and follow Satan's counterfeit way, the results are that those people become unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, and yes, brutal, brutal. Or put another way, someone not fit to be in God's kingdom because their character is incompatible, intentionally incompatible. Our Bible is a treasure trove of nuance, deep in wisdom. So let us take to heart the message from Paul to Timothy and increase our fruit of God's Spirit as we continue to develop character as Christians, with the opposite of what we read, with love, forgiveness, truth, self-control, and unbrutalness. Or maybe, as we've come to see today, a character that is gentle, civilized, humane, restrained, and governed by God's Holy Spirit.